victory, and that's why I love him.
We're grateful to be back in the house of God on this morning, to have each of you in the presence of God in worship. This morning, we want to worship him in spirit and in truth. Amen. If you're visiting with us and not a member of the Church of Christ, you're the very honored guest of the audience, and we are appreciative to have you in our midst. We pray you obey the gospel, that you'll believe that Jesus died for your sins according to the scripture, that he was buried and rose again. You'll hear that. We pray you'll believe it with all of your heart. You'll repent of your sins. Confess Jesus to be the Son of God. Then be buried with him in baptism for the remission of your sins, that the Lord may add you to the only church that you read about in the Bible, and that is the Church of Christ. Amen. And to the members, good to see all y'all. Good to be back. Thanks for those who prayed for the gospel meeting in Freeport, Red Willow Well, five baptisms. There's many of you came down each night, support us. We thank you so much for supporting the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. On this week, we ask for traveling grace. Brother Stroud and I will be speaking on a lectureship in West Texas, in Midland, Texas. We both will be keynote on Wednesday night. If you want to come and be with us, we appreciate the fact that we are working together and we're given those prime time opportunities to speak to the churches of Christ regarding our concerns with the church. Also speaks to the brotherhood's respect for us and what we have to say to the brotherhood. And that should be something you should be grateful for. Even regardless of what people may say about Brother Brooks, the brotherhood among sound doctrine congregations see me as someone who stands for the truth among the brothers in the churches of Christ. And that's important for us to know today. I will also be hosting preaching a campaign in Midland in the West Texas area. So it's an area-wide campaign for Christ in the June time frame. It will be a big event at a major hotel. Those who want to accompany us and help with door knocking that first or second week in Midland, Lubbock, Texas, I'm sorry, we will be taking a caravan, hopefully, of door knockers and foot soldiers for that campaign, and they will take care of the lodging and your meals. So if you're interested in getting away for a week and go to West Texas and just do some soul winning, then make sure you get with me. I'll have a sign up. I love to take a good group from Holland Heights there, especially if I'm going to be the one speaking. So thank you for your support. Also want to say to Holland Heights, our April 15 goal is near, and we pray you would help us continue to. You've done really good. We're so thankful and so proud of this congregation, your response to our request. And, of course, we know God cannot give all of us. Amen? Amen. And so for that reason, we are thankful for each of you. But we still are pressing toward that 15th. And if you have been blessed in a way that you can continue to bless us with this effort, we will show much appreciate your love for the congregation, for the church, and for the cause of Christ, amen, as we continue to labor for that cause, amen. Holland Heights, you've done good. We love you and thank you for your support. Amen. Appreciate Brother Stroud taking the pulpit last week. And this week we will continue our study of the, well, actually complete it today, the Sifter series. So let's launch right into it today. In Luke 22 and 30, let's recap and get our thoughts back on this. I missed a week, so I'll give you thoughts back to what we really been studying. It's a very powerful study if you can see yourself. If you're looking at someone else, it won't do you any good. But if you're looking at self, it'll do you a lot of good because all of us are on the sifter. Amen. And verse number 31, the Bible says, and the Lord says, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But Jesus said, I have prayed.
I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not.
Key words. Your faith fail not when thou art converted. And then strengthen, he says, strengthen your brother. And then he said to him, Lord,
I am ready
Peter
to go
Simon
with thee.
Simon says, I'm ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before thou shalt thrice three deny that thou knowest me. Allow me to recap this study. This sifter before and after. Well, initially, the first lesson I talked about is understanding that Satan has a desire for all of us to be sifted. It's his desire because he knows without faith it's impossible to please God. So during the sifting, he's wanting to check our faith. He's testing our faith. And so that's the sifting, the desires come from one who's evil. And then I talked about, secondly, once you understand the process of sifting. Sifting comes from a process. Many of you know the sifter right here. This is what I've been using to sift y'all with. Yeah, man. So on the sifter, there's a screen. And typically, it's a big fan-like thing out there when they really do the wheat. But this is what some understand in America, we sift the flour. And so you put the flour in the sifter, and once you start sifting it, the good flour comes out the bottom, and anything left over gets left on the top. Now, out there, what Jesus was talking, they would have wheat, and the chaff would be left on the top, and they would throw it away and burn it. So if your faith is left on the top during the sifting process, anyway, you'll lose your soul. So anyway, what we're saying is that when the devil is sifting you, he's sifting young people, he's sifting old folk, he's sifting young people with temptations and trials. He's just trying your faith. He's just all over the place. Like old brother Gulick said, he just be working on here. He's just trying to get him to fall. You know, do you really believe in the one church? What you going to do, go to another church? Do you believe in baptism? Oh, no, you don't? You don't believe in even service? Huh? What you looking at me like that? Put that sift on them song leaders, sift them song leaders. He believed them song. He said he really loved the Lord. Do you really love the Lord? Don't test your love. He said, if you love me, keep my commandment. Look at this here. Keeping my commandment. Brother Old. See, he said he might one day want to be a elder. I don't know. You sure? What about your wife? How's she going to feel about that? Your brother said... Young Adam, family man, yes, going to be favorable to your wife? Yes, what about your children? Yes, what about your boys? Oh, what they going to look like? They going to be spiritual men? Yes, come on now. Yes, you going to fall apart when life troubles come? Yes, what about your young adults? Maybe y'all going to go back to rapping. How y'all like that rapping stuff, huh? Flossing. You ain't flossing, are you? Your brother said, don't do that, brother. You want to be obedient to your mama? Not? Oh, no. Yeah. Senior citizen with them almond trees growing. Gray hair, folks. Leaving the Lord 60, 70 years old. You don't like them old church folks. They ain't nothing but troublemakers. Highland Heights got a whole bunch of evil folk on it. Go to another congregation. What about you, Willie Lewis? You gonna keep on singing? You gonna sing louder? What you gonna do? You gonna louder? Why you close your arm up like that? What are you doing? Testing faith, testing belief, testing. Are you ready to hang? Can you hang? Will you hold on? That's what he's testing. Right, y'all remember that? He's testing everybody, young, old, all of us are getting tested. The preacher getting tested. What you going to do when they talk about you, Brooks? You going to stop preaching the gospel? You know they don't like you. You didn't do what they wanted you to do. They going to talk about you. They going to run your name in the mud. You going to stop preaching, son? Oh, yeah. Oh, them members, yeah. Talking about your wife. Poor thing, she's sick. They still talk about it. You know, this ain't worth it, is it? Tommy, it ain't worth it. The Church of Christ folk don't need you. Leave them. Go find you another congregation. Somebody else will love you better, son. Come on, Tommy. You know they dogging you out. They hate us. I made it. Yeah, I'm still here. Here's the point. It doesn't matter who we are. Amen. From the pulpit to the back door, all of us will get tested.
Amen.
And Satan will throw everything at us. And then Jesus said, now look here. This is before I put you on there. He said, before you get on this sifter, I need to know. He said, Peter, your faith, I don't want your faith to fail you. So he prayed that his faith fell. Now, so to come back, how much do you believe? Can you make it? Will you hold on? Then we looked at the fact that he said, when thou art converted. That was the last lesson. He said, and I showed there was a difference between repentance and conversion. Repentance means I stop doing. You can repent, never be saved. You can repent of drinking, repent of smoking, repent of drugs, and stop doing it. But until you convert and turn to the Lord, you cannot be saved. Stopping is one thing, converting is another thing. See, Peter had stopped some things, but he had not yet converted. See, you can be baptized. The baptism is only the beginning of conversion. This is important for us to know. Now, that all happens before. Now, after the sifter today, what we're looking at is that the Lord turns and look at him. Look, notice this. Let's go back to Luke 22 now. Let me roll you through that right quick, because I had to get y'all back on the sifter because y'all would have missed the point. And he said, Lord, I am ready to go with thee, both in the prison and death. Y'all remember that? Verse 33. But when Satan started to sift him, when he started to sift Simon, when he was tested, his faith was shaken. It was shook up. And he never thought about Jesus. Think about this now. His belief in Jesus was so shook up that he would deny him. He did not hold up to the test. This is only after the sifter, after the process of sifting, did Peter remember Jesus. Here's the point. My question point and main thought for this lesson this morning is what caused him to remember, number one. Number, what caused him to repent, number two. And what caused him to convert. The Bible records only in Luke's account, look at this one, in 22:61. Luke, notice this, in Luke 22:61, he said, and the Lord
turned
and looked
upon Peter.
Unto Peter. Y'all see that? And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter, and Peter remembered
the word of the Lord.
The word of the Lord, how he said,
unto
before
them,
the cock
him,
crow, thou shalt deny me thrice.
Right.
And Peter went out and wept what?
Bitterly.
Jesus, notice, turned and looked. And this is like this. It'll be like this. Peter had denied him, and Jesus was over here. And he knew Peter had denied him. But he had not done anything yet, because he told Peter, before the cock crow, you're going to deny me three times. And after the third time, when the cock crow, here's what Jesus did. Now, that fixed was an intent, direct eye contact with Peter. And like, they look at me. And he turned and looked at him. Y'all feel that? Now, here's how you get this. The fixed look came from the master, right? And and all of us, when we make it through, understand this, the Lord got his eye on us. And he fixed it on him. It's going to be a powerful thought come from this. He fixed, he looked at him. And here's what I want to say. The question, was Peter totally converted before the sifter? Answer, no. Did Peter see Jesus before, during, or only after? After. However, when Jesus looked upon him, he made direct contact. Know the Bible. And the Bible said he remembered the Lord, the word of the Lord. See, it was after he was tempted, after he was put on the sifter, when his faith was tried, something brought him back to his senses. He remembered the word of the Lord. Now, how many of you here find yourself going through trials and troubles or sinning only to see Jesus after you got locked up? Only after you have went through it and you see the consequence. See, many people come to the church building after the faith that failed them. They didn't believe in Jesus during the time. They were going through their thing. And I see over and over again when many, even members of the church, go through trials and tribulations and only come to Jesus after. Amen. Many leave the Lord during their trials. What is the problem? There's a lack of faith. There's no a lack of conversion. And they lose focus and they don't see Jesus during the trial. Now, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the good and the evil. So question for members of the church, if you have left a congregation, why? If you have left the church of Christ, what did Jesus do wrong? Are you not essentially denying him just like Simon? Do you not know that he's looking? Why don't you see Jesus before you see the people? See, some of us get so caught up on how people act that we forget who's looking. I'm guilty. People can distract you. Yeah. Lose distraction. You lose sight. Watching the members of the church act up. But Jesus never acts up. When are you going to truly repent and convert and come back to the Lord? Some of you are prodigal. Yeah, you're not faithful to the Lord. You're here Sunday morning. That's it for you. When are you going to convert? When are you going to truly convert and start following the Lord, serving him? You know morning service is not going to get you to heaven. Somebody leading you wrong to believe that. You got to be a faithful follower of Christ. What about your life? Understand, Hebrews 4:13. What about your day-to-day living? What do the Lord see in your day-to-day living? Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 13. He's been on night shifts for a while, so we need to pray for him. They slowed him down. That's in your New Testament. Hebrews.
Neither is there any creature.
Now, neither is there any creature.
That is not manifest in his sight.
That is not manifest. It's none of us who God created not known in his sight. Read.
But all things are naked.
Now, notice he's all things are naked. What is he saying? There's nothing the Lord, nothing we do that the Lord don't see. Do he see your secret sins? Somebody say, ain't got no secret sins. I say, you're lying. It's a lot of things, people. You don't just tell everybody all the wrong you did. You don't tell everybody. All of us got some dirt. Yeah. See. But you ain't lying to the Lord. You can't lie to the Lord. Lord know everything we've ever done. Man may not know it, but the Lord know. Amen, somebody. Amen. Hey, now ask yourself, is Jesus pleased with what he see in your life? What did he see last night? How many of you would have done what you done if you knew he was looking intently? I'm talking about last night's stuff. Now, you ain't going to look at me because you know you wouldn't have went through it if he was looking at you just like that. You wouldn't have drunk no beer. You going to turn it up with him looking at you? Huh? You ain't going to say no curse word with Jesus looking at you like that. Well, would you? Try. Don't do that. How many of us could do the things we've done if we knew he was looking directly at us? Could you cheat on your wife? Could you cheat on your husband? Could you have any immoral activity going on when you knew the Lord was looking right at you? You wouldn't do it, would you? Huh? We wouldn't do it. I said, we wouldn't do it. That's right, Brother Children. Would you? Would you have done some of the stuff you've done if you knew the Lord? Don't laugh. I'm just asking a question. He told me, I wouldn't have done it, bro. Ain't nobody going to do nothing like that. Tim, would you? There's some stuff we wouldn't have done if our mind would have been, the Lord is looking. Out of respect for God, we wouldn't have went through with it. I say we because I'm just guilty as the rest of you. I said the rest of you. I ain't leave nobody out. That's right. This is true. And it's reality. It's keeping it real always. Amen. This is what this is. And so in fact, if we don't think of it like that, that's why. We don't think of it as an intense, fixed look. But it is. God said, he said, my eyes are everywhere. Proverbs 15:3. I'm looking at good and evil. It's quiet this morning. See, when people visit the churches of Christ, I ask them, at what point do you stop playing that game in the world and obey true preaching, true word, the true word? See, a lot of people out there, what they want us to do is to do what the world do. And that's just to tell people what they want to hear. That ain't going to happen over here. We're not going to do it to get membership. Membership must be obedient to the Lord. Why? The Lord is looking at us. Amen. At some point, young man, young lady, you're going to have to believe the truth, obey it, be baptized, and become a member of the one church. That's the only way you can do it. Amen. Everything is now obvious by Peter. Let's go back to Peter. Peter has been sifted, have he not? Yes. Peter's faith has been tested. Yes. 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 Peter actually denied it, just like Jesus said. Three times, Peter repented with bitter tears, which indicates his conversion back to Jesus. Now, his faith was shaken, but it didn't fail. Y'all follow me? Jesus said, I prayed that your faith fail not. How do I know it didn't fail? Remember, fail means die in that text. And so Jesus prayed. And the way I know it didn't fail, because part of faith is a belief in repentance. Y'all know that? And so, look at this. The Lord turned and looked upon Peter, and Peter remembered the word of the Lord. And he went out and wept, look at that, bitterly. Here, how many here today see Jesus before you see him? How many see Jesus after you see him? How many of us start feeling real bad afterwards? You start thinking about, oh my Lord, what I done? That's why you say, oh my Lord. Because what comes to mind is that you just sinned against the Lord. Peter, notice what he says. He wept, wow, bitterly. See, when it's true sorrow, in 2 Corinthians 7:8. Watch this, what happens when you are sorry after a godly manner. What did he say?
For though I made you sorry
with
a letter,
Paul said, he writes a letter to the Corinth, and he said, do I make you sorry with a letter? He said, I do not what?
Repent.
I don't repent. I don't change my mind that I wrote the letter to you. Read.
Though I did repent. For I perceived.
He said, for I perceived.
That the same epistle.
That same epistle.
Hath made you sorry.
He made you what?
Sorry.
Read.
Though it were but for a season.
Yeah, read on.
Now I rejoice.
Uh-huh.
Not that you were made sorry.
But watch what sorrow did.
But that she sorrowed,
to
repentance.
How did he sorrow to?
To repentance.
See what Peter, when Jesus fixed his eyes on him, that's when he remembered, and his sorrow was about what he did to God. See, our sin is against God. I can sin against my brother too. I can sin against my brother. And God is saying, how you going to get forgiveness of me if you can't forgive your? And my sorrow is that I did it to God. And so that's why he repented. See, unless you get to the point in your life where you're wrong, it's seen that you're wrong in God, you have no godly sorrow, then you won't get repentance. Godly sorrow worketh repentance. But the sorrow of the world worketh death. What are you saying, Paul? See, some people get they sorry because they got caught. That's how jailhouse repentance occurs. I'm sorry because I'm entrapped in this jail cell. And you know what the trick they use? They put a Bible in every jail cell. And that's the devil, because sorrow had to occur against God for what you did, not the consequence of what you did. See, some of you are in the church because of the consequence, not because you wronged God. True repentance only comes when I see what I did to God. We don't think of it like this, but that's what happened. Because if you got faith, there's an intense look at everything you do. And it's against me. You feel it? Y'all feel it? Everything, this is what God is saying. Everything you do is against me. And when you know that, you sin less. But when you think I don't know, or I ain't looking, you have no guilt. You have no remorse. But when you picture me looking at your behavior, you don't talk wrong to another brother in Christ. You don't act up. Because you know I'm looking. How you going to talk about another brother? You can't. See, our problem is we don't see God. We dismiss him as if he's not in the picture. True repentance comes when we see God in every act of disobedience. That's how I come back to the Lord. That's how you can come home today. Because the Lord knows. No, so after this whole event, Jesus is then led to, after he denied him, he's led as a sheep to the slaughter. He then goes to Calvary. He's crucified. And then he makes his last appearances after his resurrection. 10 appearances he makes to his apostles and disciples. But the one I want to focus on is the last one he made to Peter. Notice in John chapter 21. His appearance and discussion with Peter takes place. Remember what Jesus told him? When thou art converted, do what? Strengthen my brethren. John chapter 21, verse number 1.
After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples.
Now pay attention. Everybody look. Everybody there? 21:1. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to disciples at the Sea of Tiberias,
and on this wise showed himself.
There were together,
Simon,
Peter, Thomas called Didymus, Nathanael of Cana of
Galilee, and the son
of Zebedee,
two other of his disciples.
Now these are all disciples there with him. Simon Peter
said unto them, I go a fishing.
I'm going fishing.
They said unto him, we also go with
thee. We'll go fishing with you. Sound like a good day to go fishing.
They went forth and entered into a ship immediately. And that night they caught nothing.
Well, I've had on some fishing trips like that, ain't you, Brother Children? Didn't catch nothing but a sunburn.
But when the morning
maybe we fish at night, we won't get burnt. But they went at night.
But when the morning was not
when the morning would come, Jesus stood on the shore.
But the disciples knew not that it was
so
Jesus.
He's on the shore. Remember, this is after his resurrection. And Jesus said unto them, children, have ye any meat? They answered him,
no.
Nah, we don't got no meat. Or did you catch any fish? No. And he said unto them,
cast the net on
the
right side.
Throw your net on the right side of the ship.
And ye shall find.
Well, that's a sermon right there, but I ain't got time. If wherever the Lord said, throw your net, just throw it. And then he says,
they cast therefore, now they were not able to.
Now, look, when they just did what the Lord said do, they got more fish than they could handle. They got more than they could draw in. For the multitude. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved, talking about John,
Peter,
he says to Peter,
the Lord.
And so once immediately, John said, that's the Lord, man. And then he says, now when Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girded his fisher's coat
unto him.
Uh-huh.
But he was naked.
For he was naked. And that doesn't mean he was just, as we call, butt naked. But he was, they say when the other text, naked, they had just taken some over clothes off. And we showed that in other texts that that's what they was talking about. But in this case, he put he took his fishing gear off, and then he's putting his stuff back on, and he did cast himself in the sea. And the other disciples came in
a little ship,
but they were not far from the land, but it was 200 cubits,
dragging the net with fishing.
They got to all of them dragging them fishing and going.
As soon as they
were coming to land,
They saw a fire of coals there.
And the fish laid there on and bread. Yeah, Jesus said unto them,
bring up the fish
which
you have now caught.
He ready to cook up some fish. Boy, I cooked some fish last night. Ooh, it's good. It's sure good. How many of y'all want some fish? Fish sound good, don't it? Good fried fish. Good fried catfish. How many of y'all like catfish? I don't understand why anybody religious tell us can't eat meat. You know some folks say you can't eat meat? Imagine not eating catfish. Oh, that would be a thought. Anyway,
Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes.
Yeah.
And 153.
Right, all right.
And for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken.
Read on.
Jesus said unto them, come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, who art thou, knowing that it was the Lord?
Now notice this. And none of the disciples at that point disbelieved. All the way through the book of John, they were having a problem believing. But after the resurrection, they knew it was the Lord. Their belief system had been sealed through the witnesses. This is the true Jehovah Witnesses. They witnessed. He told them to go to Jerusalem. They witnessed his crucifixion, burial, and resurrection. So they are 100% at belief. Our faith coming by hearing the word of God. We ain't going to see him get up. We ain't going to be at the grave. We're not going to be at the crucifixion site. We believe it because we can read it. So here they are. Now they're in full belief, knowing that it was the Lord. Then come at Jesus, take the bread and give them and fish.
The fish likewise.
Verse 14.
This is now the where third I want to be. Time.
Now this is the third time that Jesus showed himself to the disciples.
After that
he was
risen from the
this
dead.
This is after the resurrection. Watch this now. So when they had dined, Jesus said to Peter.
Simon, son of Jonas.
Now watch him. Question some queries. He said, "Simon, son of Jonas,
love me more than these."
No, he said, "Love me more than these." He said unto him, "Yeah, Lord,
thou knowest that I love thee." He said unto him,
"He said, now feed my lambs." Now watch that. That's a key point. Then he said, second time.
The second time,
Simon,
son of Jonas,
lovest
thou me?
Do you love me?"
Yeah, Lord.
I know I love you.
He said unto him,
this time, feed sheep.
My sheep.
Then, here you go. He said unto him the third time, Simon,
son of Jonas.
Son of Jonas. Now, watch the attitude change. Lovest thou me?
Peter was grieved.
Why are you asking me this? That's basically what he's saying. He's upset. He's grieved that the Lord don't believe him. It's like, you don't believe me? And so Peter done went through something. He's been sifted. But his attitude, he's grieved because the Lord, obviously, you're going to ask him the third time, Lord, thou me, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, you know. See, before he said, yes, Lord. But now he says, Lord, you know all things. You know I'm telling the truth. See, you should be confident that you have fallen in love with the Lord. You should be able to say, Lord, you know I love you. He said, okay. He got to his head, didn't he? Jesus said, okay, feed my sheep then. You know what he was saying then? See, here's the lesson. Peter had been put on the sift. He denied him three times during the sifting process. But Peter didn't have the kind of love required to do the work he had to do. Brothers and sisters, Jesus demands total commitment. Amen. He demands total commitment from us. That our love must put Christ first above anything. Listen to Jesus, Luke 14, 26. If any man come to me and hate not
his father.
Hold on, I got a whole lot of pages to turn. I want everybody to go here. There's a whole lot of people put their wife, mamas, and daddies, and everybody before truth. He said, if any man come to me and hate not, that means love less. You got to love less your father than Jesus.
Mother
than Jesus.
And wife.
Your wife less than Jesus.
And children.
Your children less than Jesus.
And brethren.
Your brothers and sisters less than Jesus. And if you don't think he's serious, love your own life less than you do me. What that mean? If it requires dying, give your life up for me. Or you cannot be my disciple. Y'all see that? Amen. Questions. How many of you love Jesus more than yourself? How many of you love Jesus more than your mother, your father, your husband, your children? Then you can't strengthen no brother. Remember? He said, when thou art converted, the last thing you can do is strengthen your brother. Y'all follow the lesson? He said, now, here's the thing. It's why is love so emphasis put on Peter, did you love me? Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? John 14, 15. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commands. He didn't say, if you love me, try to do your best. I said, are you living good? I'm trying, Brother Brooks. I'm trying to do my best. You love the Lord? Trying. Yes, sir. I'm love the Lord. Love him. Just love him. Now, did you break a command? Love the Lord? Love him. How many of y'all love the Lord? Say amen.
Amen.
He said, if you love me, keep my command. Now, let me help you though. When you sin, you broke a command. Now, I'm going to ask that question again. How many of you love the Lord?
Amen.
It's a lot less amens, isn't it? Because you got to see love as a growth thing. See, some of us, I love the Lord, sin every day. See, the more you love, the less you sin.
Amen.
And so what he's saying, focus on loving me more and you'll sin less. But you can't say you there if you're still sinning. So how do you say, yeah, brother, you love the Lord? I'm going to love him more. But I'm not where I know he's talking about being. So when you're saying this, the family, here it is, church, we have to love God and put our family second to God. We put everything second job. You focus, brother, you know, I got me a second job, and I know it's going to keep me away from the worship on Sunday nights and Wednesday. But, you know, the Lord know my heart. Yeah, he know you love money more than him. In our seeking for employment, we seek first God. Why? Because God is going to be the one who take care of us. God is going to be the one who takes care of our home. God is going to be the one who wakes us up. He's the reason we have a job anyway. He's the one who gives us. He takes care of mama. He takes care of daddy. He takes care of my children. If I love him, they're going to be taken care of. But if I love them, he's not going to take care of me because he wants me to love him first because God is a jealous God. How many of you can love God more than you do something else? How many of you can say you do? See, when we get put on the sifter, our love for God get tested too. So what will we do? What kind of behavior will we have? Jesus told when you're converted, strengthened. Peter had to go through the sifter before he had true conversion. See, we done went through some stuff, y'all. Like we went through some stuff. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Every member here has went through something. All of us are going through things. Everybody, no one is exempt. People are losing their children. Sifting. Or they're going to leave the church. Amen, somebody. Look how many deaths we have. People are dying all around us. Amen, somebody. You just look at the Church of the Christ. The world full of religious division, a confusion. Men preaching and making Jesus but another product. They're a salesman selling Jesus and entertaining on Sunday morning. Yeah, man, theatrical stuff, stage presences. Man, don't you know we got some issues? People love money more than they do God, and the love of money is the root of evil. Families tore up because folk don't love God as much as they do their family. They'll do anything. Turn up your family. Turn up your home. Turn up marriages. Turn up houses. Turn up family relationship. The devil's in the middle. When a family relationship is being destroyed, whether it's a congregation or in somebody's house, the devil is working. Devil is working. The devil is working. He's sifting. He put this whole congregation on a sift. Every one of us was riding the same sift. Amen. Homes in here on sifters. Whole families on the sifter. All of them. Everybody on these sifters. What he's saying, need to be some conversions taking place. With somebody, just turn back to God. Turn away from the foolishness. Turn back to God. You got to make it through. You got to make it. Your faith got to get through the sifter with you. You can't live your faith, leave your faith on top. We got to get through it. You're struggling. Your faith is being tested. But God wants you to believe more in him than you do the issue. This means stop, think about what you're doing, convert, and come back to the Lord. Here's my last thought, I'm closing. When Jesus said, when thou art converted, strengthen your brother. Y'all remember that? Notice what he says in verse 15. He said, feed my lambs. Verse 16, he says, feed my sheep. And then he aggravated him the third time, and he said, he went back to feed my sheep. Here's what I want you to know about this. All of us, brothers and sisters, need strengthening. But just because you've been in the church 40, 50, 60 years don't mean you're in a position to strengthen anyone. It ain't about length of time in the church. It's about your love for God and what's right. It's a matter of can this individual repent and convert? Because if he or she cannot repent or convert, they can't help a lamb, which is a new babe in Christ. They will put their own feelings and their own issue before a baby, and they will cut up in front of a new convert because they are not converted. Anytime you see a quote-unquote strong, mature Christian causing new converts to fall because of their behavior, they have not converted. They cannot strengthen a new babe in Christ. And I have witnessed men and women who I believed were so-called mature Christians cut up in front of new Christians. They have no regard for their salvation. Why? They have not converted. And if you've been in the church longer than I have, 30 years, I'm sure you've seen it too. You say, why would that brother act like that with all these new Christians in here? Why would she do that with all them new babes? Here she'll talk about the preacher. Everybody else, new baby, just got baptized 3 weeks ago. You over there putting this stuff in her ear. You have not converted, sister. Amen. You're not converted, my brother. You have no concern about lambs. So-called mature Christians. We losing this mature one. No, mature ones don't leave. Mature Christians don't get quit. Mature Christians stay and strengthen brethren. Amen. They don't just quit on God. We
can't look at how much money they give and call them mature. That's another mistake. But I'm a good giver. So, was he mature? What's his maturation like? No matter how much money, you think God need a dime from us? He don't need our money. He owned the cattle on a thousand hills. And this church ain't going to go down because one person leave and stop giving. No, don't misunderstand income to salvation.
Amen.
Church ain't no business. It's about saving money. We're in the soul saving business.
Amen.
We losing a lot of givers. And your point. And what? And your point. That's my point. What is your point? Because God can outgive any of us. I hope you don't put no money in the plate today thinking you helping God out. He just want to know, do you understand that what you got, I gave you? And I love a cheerful giver, one who gives back to the plate. Now, some of you newcomers, you still ain't started to give right. You ain't learned that giving will bless your life. Get up off that $10 and $20 stuff. I'll be watching some of you $5 in, think you done something. You ain't did nothing yet. But when you convert, when you start realizing God wakes you up on that morning, he see you on the way to the work. He's the reason you still got a job and a check and a refrigerator and a roof over your house and air to breathe and water to drink.
Amen.
You have no problem giving.
Amen.
But you know, you got to preach on tithing. No, we ain't going to preach on no tithing. We're going to preach on people loving God. And when you love God, you'll give better. You'll give. Boy who loves the Lord don't have no problem giving. I have no problem giving. I've been giving since I was a new convert. Learned to give early in my life. Hell no. And I've seen the blessings. Yeah, I don't have no problem. I'm talking to my young preacher student who want to get up here and preach. Amen, somebody. You better be giving.
Amen.
My wife. She'll throw that little envelope in there with my name and her name. We won. We put it in. But even that, sometimes I just put a little 5 or 10 in up here just to let y'all know I'm sticking. But my big money coming from her. Just in case y'all, Brother Brooks ain't giving. Yeah, Brother Brooks give. Brother Brooks don't cut the laws, y'all. Now, me and Sister Brooks understand the top thing on our budget.
Amen.
Who we give to first? God, how long have we been doing this? Since a new convert.
Amen.
Don't tell me new members can't give right.
Amen.
Amen. Our contribution will be way up if everybody start giving right.
Amen.
Amen, somebody. But you know, you'll never come to the Church of Christ when we beg you for a dime. Because we're talking about cheerful givers. God loves a cheerful giver. When people are mature, they give their life. So let's not define maturity as length of time in the church. Or let's not define maturity by how much the check is. Let's define maturity of how much do they love Lord so they can feed sheep. All of us are sheep. And Jesus said Peter was not in a position to feed his sheep. And he was an apostle. The question is, who in his church is really mature enough? Who in this congregation are converted? You, the one that Jesus is talking to,
amen.
Feed these new babies. When you got a congregation like us, we're baptizing 100 a year, we ought to have these walls busting out. Feed the lambs, you mature Christians. And then he said, feed the sheep. I can't help somebody go through something where they say the world steals it. I can't have a testimony without a test. And when I get a testimony, I can say, young man, young lady, I know what you're going through. And as I close, look at John 28:18-19. Verily I say unto thee, he's talking to Peter, verse 18. Notice what he says to him. When thou was young, verse 18, 21, 18, John chapter 21, and the verses number 18. John
verily,
chapter
verily,
21.
I say unto thee,
there he is.
When thou was young, thou girdest thyself,
yeah,
and walkest whither thou wouldest.
Uh-huh.
But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not.
There are two ways to see this scripture. That means when you're young, you can take care of yourself because you're healthy, good. You get older, somebody else is going to have to take care of you. That's one way to look at it. But in the context, that's not what he's talking about. Contextually, he spake, signifying what death Peter would die. See, verse, he spake that it was death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said unto him, said unto who? Peter, follow me. What? Watch. Jesus' track was to the cross. So when he was young in faith, he was not ready for what he was getting ready to deal with. But after he sifted him, Peter's faith was in a position to get ready for his own death. And you know, history says they crucified him. What he had prepared Peter for is that, you know what, you're going to die just like me. And Peter refused to be hung upside up this way. They say he was hung upside down on a cross. And Peter wasn't ready to die because he denied him. But afterwards, Jesus told him, when you were young in your faith, you wouldn't stand for me. You denied me. But now that he's old in his faith, he's truly converted. Jesus informed him that you're going to have to die at the hands of others, just like me. In Revelation 2 and 10, he said, fear none of those things which shall suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you in prison, that you may be tried. You shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto what? Death. And I will give thee. This means be faithful, even if it requires dying. That's the kind of love he wants us to have. A faith that says, if somebody walks in here now, that I believe so much in Jesus, if he put the 357 Magnum, said, deny him right now, and you'll be like Polycarp. You've been too good. Polycarp was an old saint that's recorded that they told him they would spare him if he denied Jesus in Rome. He said, I couldn't even. He said, my Lord, he was 80-some years old. He said, 80-some years. The Lord has been good to me. He said, I dare not deny him now. And they killed him on the spot. How many of us could have held up there? What are you saying, brother? The sifter series. Sifting like wheat. Amen. Faith can fail. But when you convert, then you're in a position to strengthen your brother. Is that a good lesson?
Amen.
I want y'all to know today here, all of us, for FYI, are on the sifter daily. Every day of our life, our faith and belief in God is being tested. Every day of our life. Don't think, you said, Brother Brooks, I'm on the sifter today. You was on it yesterday too. He's sifting me. I know he's sifting you, but he was sifting you before. You don't get caught up on that. You just make sure you hold on by faith. It don't matter what happens in your life. Yes, you may lose a loved one, but hold on to God's unchanging hand. Yes, you may have cancer, but hold on to God. Yes, you may lose your job, but don't lose faith. Yes, you may have some family problems, but don't lose faith. Yes, yes, you can make it as long as you hold on to your faith. Somebody say, well, Brooks, I don't know. I've heard a lot of things, but where's my faith? The first thing Satan does is test our faith of belief in the Bible. The people to be saved must believe in a God they never saw. They must believe that God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son. that person must believe from a book that that son came and lived among men. And that son, not only did he live, but he lived without sin. He was tempted as we are. You got to believe that he was tried on every side. You got to believe that he was young man, that he walked the streets of Jerusalem. You got to believe that in his last 24 hours, they treated him like a criminal. You got to believe he was in the Garden of Gethsemane praying. You got to believe that Judas betrayed him. You got to believe that Peter denied him. You got to believe that they arrested him. You got to believe that he went to 6 trials. You got to believe that Pilate had it right when Pilate said, I find no fault. You got to believe it. You got to believe it. You got to believe it. Did I say you have to believe it? Not that you was there. You got to believe it because the book tells us. You got to believe that after they seen him, and they said Pilate was trying to release him. So Pilate whips him with a whip. You got to believe, you got to see him with your eye, that he was taking that whipping for us. He took it for us, Adam. He took it that we have a hope of eternal life. He took the whipping. They whipped him with stripes was all over his body. You got to believe that. That they put a crown of thorns on his head. And they marched him up a hill of Calvary. You got to believe they hung on over a sign over him saying, King of the Jews. You got to believe it. That they drove nails in his hands and in his feet. You got to believe he did all that for you. He did it for me. Why did he do it, y'all? He loved us. What did he want us to do? Love him back. Love what he did. Love him for what he did. Love him for hanging on the cross 6 hours. Love him for suffering. Love him for his blood. Love him for the blood he shed it. Love him because that blood washed away sins. Love him because that blood is what you drink when you're a Christian every Sunday. Love him because that blood purchased the one church, the bride of Christ, the church of Christ. Love him for it. Love him for the word of God that he gave us. And remember, he looks. He looks intently. And he says, come unto me. Come to me, all you that labor and heavy laden. And I'll give you rest. He looks. He says, I stand at your door and knock. I'm letting you know I'm here. All you got to do is open. I'll come in. But I'm looking. And when you see him look, you'll turn and say, what do I do, preacher? Believe it with all of your heart. Repent of your sin right where you are now. Say, you know what? I have not obeyed the truth. I'm going to obey it today. I'm going to leave a Christian. I'm going to leave a member of the Church of Christ. I see God looking. I remember his word. This you do remember to me. I'll drink this blood today. I'll do it for my first time because I'm going to be a Christian today. I made my mind up. I'm going to be a Christian. And then when I become a Christian, I'm going to learn to lean on him. I'm going to lean on him during good times. I'm going to lean on him during bad times. I'm going to lean on him while I'm on the sifter. I'm not going to lose my faith. I'm going to go through it by faith. And when I'm strengthened, when I'm converted, I'm going to strengthen the babies in the church. I'm going to work on the new babes. I'm going to work on the old babies. I'm going to write about it. Some old babes, y'all get that part. They've been in the church a long time, but they're still babes. Need to work on them too. And then I'm going to strengthen those who are strong. But let him that think he stand take heed, lest you fall. And so today, if you heard the gospel, you believe it with all of your heart. That gospel, that death, burial, and resurrection story. Believe it. Repent. Confess Jesus before this honor. You believe that Jesus Christ, the Son of God. If you come down here, I'm going to ask you, sir, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? You're going to answer in the affirmative. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And then once you do that, we're going to take you immediately and baptize you. Why? Because we remember the Lord said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Why? You not baptized, you're not saved. And if you have not been baptized, you're not saved. Or if you were baptized in another church other than the true church, you're by one spirit are we baptized into one church. So if you're not in the one church, you didn't get the one baptism because the spirit didn't make a mistake, you did. But you just heard it for your first time. You can come. And he said, here's how I come. Those who need prayer, come. Those who are on the sifter and you think your faith may be failing, you come for strength. Those who need to be baptized, all y'all come to the front and you say, I'm coming. I'm going to come and lean on the Lord. I'm going to lean on the Lord and stand. Everybody stand. Start walking to the front if you need to come. Come to the Lord this morning. You're going through some things. Come to him. Let him in your life. Learn. Come on to the Lord now. Let him in your life this morning. Learning to lean. On Jesus. If you've been on the sifter for a while, you want a little relief, why don't you come to the Lord? He said, He prayed for Peter. He prayed for Peter. He's praying for you that your faith fell not. Maybe you're going through some things. It's your time to come to the Lord. It's your time to give him your life. It's your time to put him first. It's your time to repent. It's your time to ask for forgiveness. It's your time to be baptized. It's your time to turn back to the Lord. He looked intently at you. More power. There's power in it. You can find power when you come to the Lord. I am. How many of y'all are learning? On Jesus. How about at the back there? Anybody out there? Anybody back there need to come to him? Come on. Come on. God bless you. Come on. God bless you. It's not too late to come. Come on. Come on to the Lord. Go to his young man. Come on to the Lord. Young man, just come. Somebody at the back, you're so close to coming. You're so close to coming. You're on the sifter. He's trying to get your faith. He's trying to get you not to believe in baptism. He's trying to get you to believe in the people. There you come. Come on. There's some people coming. People are still coming. People are coming to the Lord. You start thinking about it. Start thinking about it. Over here. Two have already come. Some more need to come. Somebody else need to come. When you come? Come on to him. Let him in your life. He's standing at your door and knock. Come. Come on to him. Come on. Come on. Come on to the Lord. Come on to him. Learning to lean. There you go. Come on. It ain't too late. Let's sing a little bit. I am. What y'all gonna do, Holland Heights? Learning to lean. Who we leaning on as a congregation? Yeah, we leaning on Jesus. Why is it that we leaning on him? We found more power. More power. And I. Oh yeah. Oh.
Learning to live on Jesus.
Oh, this we need one more verse. Somebody.